Good morning.
Good morning.
I may look it, but I'm not Debbie. Debbie poked her eye last night, so she can't read very well. So we'll keep Debbie in our prayers. But she did, before she poked her eye, she baked the bread, communion bread, for today. So we thank Debbie for that, too. Let's see. So welcome to everyone. We welcome our visitors today. We're glad that you're here. If our welcoming team didn't see you as you came in, sort of let them know, because we have a gift for you. And so thank you for coming, and we hope that you come again. So let's see. Any other? We have the red books at the end of the pews. Pass them down. Be sure to sign them. And get to know the other people on your pews. Say hi, and especially if you don't know those people. And in your pew is also a blue sheet of paper. If you have praise prayers or prayers of intercessions, people that you want to pray for, sign those, and they'll be picked up during the first hymn, and we'll pray for those people or those things that we need to pray for. Wanted to let you know, a lot of people have been asking about our daughter, Kara. She was bucked off a mule last Sunday and hit her head on a rock, but she's doing really well. So thank you for all your prayers and well wishes for her. So, all right, no other announcements. All right, with that, let us center ourselves with music and as we meditate on who we are here to worship. please stand as you are able as we begin with our opening words found in your bulletin. Please read the bold print. Lent calls us to journey this and every day, following Jesus wherever he leads us. Lent calls us to journey to the place where God covenants with us to receive the new names we are given. Lent calls us to worship together to tell future generations the good news. Lent calls us to practice justice to bring God's hope to all people. Lent calls us to faithful living, to trust the one who gives us life. Lent calls each of us to take up our cross, to trust the one who bears it with us. Lent calls us to journey with God. Let us worship God who walks with us this and every day.
Please turn in your hymnals to page 126. Sing praise to God who reigns above.
Pray the prayer of confession found in your bulletin. Again, if you'll read the boldface. We are reluctant, O author of love, to set aside our hurt, our anger, our disappointment. Heal us with your tender touch, that we might be cleansed of all unclean thoughts, all schemes of revenge, all hope of vindictive retribution. Open our eyes to the power of love, shown to us in the way Jesus taught us to live. Amen.
Please turn in your Faith We Seek books to page 2244. People need the Lord.
Thank you. to invite all of the children to come down front, and Lisa has a story for you.
And good stuff in the bag.
And good stuff in the bag. Ooh, things are looking up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yay. Woohoo, things are looking up.
Thank you. You don't want to sound the trumpet and say, look at me, I'm going to give all this money. Because we just want God. We just want to give it to God. So that's one of the other ways that this say. Now, the other thing God says in Proverbs is that the rich and poor meet together, and the Lord is maker of them all. So whether we're rich, whether we're poor, whether we have a lot of stuff, God made us all, and he loves us all equally. I know sometimes when I look at other people, and they have more stuff, or they have more talent in sports, or they're better at art, or even spelling than I am, then I want to be envious of that. But what we need to know is the Bible tells us that God made each of us, and he loves each of us equally and dearly. So I'm going to ask you, God loved us enough to send his only son into our broken world to save us. And I'm hoping this week, maybe we can all try to be more like Jesus, and we can forgive our family, and we can be generous, and just try to follow Jesus' example. So, do you think you guys could do that this week? Okay, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving each of us equally and dearly, and your Bible tells us all good things come from you. Thank you for the blessings of our family, food, our warm house. Most of all, we thank you for loving us enough to send your son Jesus into our world to save us. And we ask these things. And now, actually, I have another bag. Please grab something. And your mom will tell you you have to wait for later to eat it. But
I keep candy up here, Lisa, if you need more. Anybody thankful for our children? Yeah. Let's all say, thank you, God, for the children. Thank you, God, for the children. And I had tears in my eyes today when the girls were lighting the candles. And so I'm feeling a lot of gratitude for our children. Thank you, God. We've got several prayer requests. And the first one, of course, is for healing for Debbie's eyes. She's really suffering. She's in pain. She poked herself royally. And we need to pray for Debbie. And she also asked for prayers for her sister who's in ICU with gallbladder issues. So for Debbie and her family, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Give her a hug after church. Chuck is asking for prayers for little 5-year-old Samantha in San Angelo, who's very ill with the flu and strep, and he says she's very little and very sick. So for little Samantha, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Susan Salitis is feeling the pain of what's going on in our country's schools. We join you in that concern, Susan, and we pray for the schools. We pray for the youth of our nation. We pray for the children who are living with this kind of terror and threat. And we pray for those who are ill, that we pray for those who are angry. We pray for those who are confused. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Mike and Rebecca Engel ask for prayers for their friend David, who also is quite ill with the flu, struggling to breathe. So for David and for all of those dealing with that horrible flu right now, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And Rebecca wants you to know a big praise the Lord. We prayed for their grandson, Easton, who was in a car wreck, and she wants you to know he's doing fantastic. So everybody say, praise the Lord. and let's see, who else? Oh, for their neighbor, David. That's the same as what Mike asked for. Okay, so double prayers for David. All right. We have some other prayer needs, and what you may not know is that Bob Howell, who is the genius behind our Facebook and our website, and who is our computer guru for the church, is also head of search and rescue, and he spent all night last night looking for some lost hikers and is not here this morning because they're having to hike them out of Dog Canyon. A helicopter airlift could not get to them. So for Bob and all of the volunteers like him, we pray for their strength. We pray for their eyes to see the clues, and we just pray God's blessings on them and right now on those hikers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Our Mary Richens mother died since we were last together, and the memorial service will be tomorrow morning in Brownfield, so Mary is not here. And Donald had shared with me that Mary was exceptionally enmeshed with her mother her entire life, and I'm not saying that in an ugly way at all, but just as this is a deep loss for Mary. And she's been a faithful daughter, running back and forth to Texas to see to her mother. So would you be in prayer for Mary and her family? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. All right. And also, I won't be here next week. I will be suffering. I will be suffering in the Gulf of Mexico on a cruise ship. I will be warm in the sun. I will be being very lazy, and I won't have my cell phone on. So just travel mercies, I ask from you on that. All right, and let us now go to God in prayer. Holy God, I pray for Bruce Freeman, who will be preaching next Sunday. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to come on him as he ministers with this congregation next Sunday. And Lord, we also come to you on behalf of our nation. Ah, oh, we're a mess, God, on all levels. And we just pray for help. And we also pray that we won't just see the messes, for goodness sakes, that we will also see all the wonderful good right here in our mountain community, the people who are doing good things for their neighbors. And God, help us to focus on the good so that it energizes us to address the issues that you lead us to get involved with. God, we also pray for our church member, Glenna Muncrief, who is moving to Las Cruces in the next days, and we pray for blessings on her move, on she and Ron's move, and their establishment in their new community in Las Cruces. And Holy God, we come also on behalf of us. Sometimes we get so busy praying for others that we forget to be intimate with ourselves and to name before you the crying needs of our own hearts. And now we're going to rest, Lord. We're going to let rest on the words that you taught us to pray, thanking you that you gave us some words to say when we don't know what to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now for Holy Communion this morning, reminding you that you will come down the center aisle and kneel at the altar rail, and Reverend Freeman and I will both come by to serve you. I have asked Reverend Bruce to co-officiate with me because he also is an ordained pastor, and he will be helping during Lent. And when you come, you can ask us for gluten-free bread. We have that available for those who need it. And hear this invitation. Everyone is welcome at this table. There's no criteria. You just come with an open heart and receive the goodness of God, because this is God's table. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, I forgot the offering. And there they stand looking at me. Next time, go like this. Will the ushers come for the morning offering, please? Let's pray. Thank you that we can give. There are so many who have nothing, Lord. Thank you that we can. And would you take what we give and make it more than we could ever imagine and do more good than we ever thought of? And then, God, bless the givers. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you. for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now those who are assisting and serving, would you please come up?
Is invited to come.
Of me, open the door and
Let us pray. Holy God, we've eaten from your table. Fill us. Expand the presence of Jesus, who brings love, who brings peace, who brings light into our lives and the lives of all those in the world. In the name of Jesus, amen. For the common good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, let's hear a little bit of background information about what was going on. The Apostle Paul, remember, he was a fire-breathing murderer, and he had a conversion experience, and after that, he just couldn't keep his mouth shut. He just went everywhere telling everybody about the good news that God had sent through this person, Jesus, who was born in a manger in Bethlehem. And Paul was a pretty smart guy. He noticed that people like to form groups. We know that. In our community, there's different kinds of groups. Name some of the groups in our community. Senior Center, that's a big one, huh? How about, what other kinds of groups in our community? Who? Rotary, all right. Yep. How about the Chamber of Commerce? VA. How about the group that takes care of feral cats, right, Donna and Merrill? lots of groups we form around our shared interests. Something that kind of happens, though, in groups is sometimes we groupy types think our group is better than the other group. I remember when my nephew was about 7 years old, the kids were playing, the cousins were playing at my house, and my nephew said, "My daddy's truck is bigger than your daddy's truck." Both of them were farmers. They had old pickup trucks, but, you know, we kind of like to compare and be in competition with each other. Well, these groups, one of them that Paul was extremely interested in was this idea of people coming together around Jesus, because he thought Jesus had a pretty good idea on how to live. And he was kind of brokenhearted about the group that got together over in Corinth. Because they got started, and, you know, Paul helped them get started, and they were doing pretty well. And then there started being some troubles within the group called church in 1 Corinthians. And there were some divisions, and there was some disorder in the church. Can you imagine? Happens in any kind of group, right? Happens in the Democrat and Republican parties, right? It happens in any kind of group you have. You're going to have dissension and fussing and fighting. And for Paul, the reason is because everyone had forgotten that whatever gifts that you have, whatever talents, whatever abilities, whatever little thing you just like to do is given to you by God for the common good. I want you to hear that again. Everything that is your gift, your talent, your ability is given to you by God, not for your personal private enjoyment, but for the common good. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul is talking about these gifts that we have. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working or activities, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, the example of the Spirit, the obvious evidence of the Spirit is given. Why? For the common good. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And he goes on and he lists a whole bunch of different gifts that different folks in a congregation in any kind of group might have. And he's reminding us that whatever the gift is, it's given for the common good. Paul had worked hard for those people in Corinth. And like any parent's dreams for their children, you know, we have this idea of these things that our children could accomplish. Paul was the same way about that church in Corinth, and he was really disappointed about what was going on. He finds himself addressing many and varied factions in that once thriving church. Today's reading in chapter 12 is one of Paul's attempts to deal with the overwhelming intricacies of what was destroying that church. He's trying to counteract self-centered and divisive behaviors so that the entire church is built up, so that it can be this strong group that goes out and bees who they all are in their community, instead of fractured and beaten and divided and impotent. He doesn't want the church breaking down into special interest groups here and there. He wants the church to be strong and effective, benefiting from all of the tools that are available to it. Turn around and look at all the tools all around you. Did you ever think you were a tool? And we're a big old toolbox? And we are supposed to be using our tools out there. The presenting problem seems to be claims by certain members of the Corinthian church that their special spiritual capacities gave them preeminence in the church. Earlier, they were dividing over who was baptized by whom. I was baptized by Joe. I was baptized by Mary. It's like, huh? Now, they're playing spiritual one-upmanship by arguing over how to worship, which way was best, and who was more spiritual. They argued about how to pray. Do we have to have it extemporaneous, or can we have it written down? They argued about the genetic heritage of what one had to be in order to be a Christian. It takes DNA to be a Christian. Well, yeah, everybody's got DNA, but I mean, they were naming the kind of DNA to be in their church. Now they are arguing over which talent or gift is the best. Note, Paul never discredits the gift itself, but rather what the individual was doing with their gift. In this case, they were asserting power and status and using it to get their way. Now, there are four parts to Paul's strategy for teaching them the way that would bring health instead of destruction for their church. Number one, he uses the plural form of gift. It's gifts, plural. There's lots of them. Everybody has lots of them. When talking about this issue, he taught that no matter how spectacular the gift, it can only be accredited to God. God gives the gift. To God be the glory, not I. No. Thank you, God, for what you've given me. Make me your servant in how I use it. He also said that there's varieties of gifts and lots of different kinds of services and many different kinds of activities, but it's God who activates all of these in everyone. There are different kinds of gifts, Paul says in verse 4, but the same God works all of them in everyone. Number two, Paul emphasizes the sheer variety of gifts. Look around you. My goodness, we've got Susan over there who quilts and Bonnie over there who makes banners and Debbie who makes bread and keeps the church clean. All kinds of gifts. Everyone has a necessary part for the health of the whole. He says all are valuable and all are needed. The specific nature of the gift is no grounds for claims of superiority. In fact, all these gifts are from God. All of them are holy and to be cherished and honored. Additionally, as you read further in the chapter, you will hear that it's so important that all gifts are necessary for the common good that it isn't right for someone to keep their gift to themselves. When Paul talks about how necessary each part of the human body is to the whole. And now we have an extended metaphor beginning in verse 15 that is just fantastic. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, whine, 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 it would not be for that reason to cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, whine, 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 and that's whine, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If we were all just alike, had the same gift, not only would that be excruciatingly boring, we would be missing out on so much, wouldn't we? The metaphor goes on. But in fact, God placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as God wanted them to be. God has put the body together so that there should be no division in the body and that its parts should have equal concern for each other. God put each one of us here at this particular time in our community, in our church with the particular gifts that you have, not for you to keep them all to yourselves, but to loosen them for the common good. That should be the basis of decision making in any kind of group. What's best for everyone? Oh, God, help us. We do want our own particular way, don't we? Can we calm it and say what's good for everyone? The fourth thing is that the purpose of these gifts is for building up the entire community here and the entire community outside these four walls. A genuine gift is not granted to individuals for their private spiritual delight. Rather, Paul is clear, whomever we are for building up the church and the community. And you know, one thing that I think is so awesome about this church is how so many of you are involved in our community, doing things that make it better. Now, thank God we live in a little community where we're forced to, huh? We all got to get out there and do something to make it good. But that is something that y'all do very, very well. Our gifts are intended to be publicly communicable, publicly shared, and publicly enjoyed for the common good. Notice the plural nature of the language Paul uses in the word gifts. It's absolutely necessary in a healthy community for there to be many talents at work for the benefit of the whole. What do these teachings of Paul say to us today? Number one, all of us are given gifts for the common good. It means everyone in this room this morning is necessary and has something important to contribute. Now, of course, the immediate question there is, are you contributing? It means the gifts present among us are God's response to what God sees our community needs. Our community needs every person you see in this room and every person out there on the street, even those that we would choose to disregard, to push aside. We don't like them. They don't do this, that, or the other right. There's something about that person. Maybe your calling is to discover what it is about that person that needs to be released. They may not even know it. They may not even see it in themselves. Every time there's a terrible natural disaster, we see this premise at work. From all over the world, desperately needed aid comes to those suffering from a tsunami, a hurricane, flood, forest fire, lost in the forest. Relief comes from all kinds of people, even rebuilding after a war. Time and again, we read of massive China and tiny little Cuba, as well as island nation Finland, or France and Great Britain and resource-rich North America coming to the aid of those who are in trouble. It's the same in a little church. Some play instruments or create your worship bulletin. Someone prepares communion while others wash dishes after breakfast or lunch. Another decorates the sanctuary or clears the brush off the side of our hill. One counts the offering. Another builds a website, while still another pays the bills every week. Someone patches the roof leaks and replaces light bulbs. Someone empties the trash, while another picks up the trash that you leave behind in your pew every Sunday. Someone volunteers to serve on a committee, and some lots of ones pray for you. Someone makes sure the bathrooms have toilet paper, and another audits our church books. Someone studies a lesson for you, and someone teaches the children. Someone calls the shut-ins and makes banners and fixes the elevator and bakes bread for the visitors. And someone comes and lights the candles. Thank you, all of our young ones. Your gift is needed too. Wonder what it is that you do that would enhance our community. Paul says it doesn't count to say, I can't play the piano like Esther. Or I can't decorate beautifully like Rebecca, Linda, and Karen. Paul says everyone has gifts. Everyone. And all of these gifts come from God. And the purpose is to help others. Paul gives us a stern reminder that faith is not personal. It's never private, and what each of us has been given is meant to be shared. Right now, I'm thinking of that little boy who went on a picnic, and he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And there were 5,000 hungry mouths. And somehow, those 5 loaves and 2 fish that that little boy carried were enough to feed everybody. Are you carrying a little basket this morning with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Will you share? May we be known as a generous people who share what we have. I think a really nice take home from this sermon is we have all kinds of people here this morning, and there's a purpose for each one of you. The guide, the capital G guide, behind this purpose is God. And God hovers over each individual, and it is God who gives you your gifts. And he gives them for the common good. Have you ever thought about there being a purpose for you? Now, it doesn't have to be some like in the headlines Picasso type talent. Maybe it's the gift of presence. I know she's always going to be sitting right there in that pew. And it's an encouragement to me. Maybe it's the gift of service. Those who get in there and wash the dishes or pick up the pew trash or make sure the little pockets are filled. Maybe it's the gift of music. Maybe it's the gift of taking us all on a hike in the woods or on an ATV trip. What is your gift? God personally selected you at this time in the life of this church and this community to be who you are here in this place. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us sing. The Spirit sends us forth to serve our gift for the common good, sent out to serve. In your little black Faith We Sing book, 2241. Please stand as we sing together.